Just want us to know, too, that in February, we'll be having a baby dedication. So if you want your baby or you want to dedicate yourself and your child to the Lord, please let me know. We're going to have a child baby dedication in February. Not sure exactly what day that will be, but if you want to participate in that with your family, please send me a text or speak to me. It's safer to send me a text. And as I think about that, Genesis will be here tomorrow. Genesis is the latest Travis Jess Shade clan, number 7 in their family. But the Genesis will be here tomorrow. That's the plan anyway. So Genesis, hear this word come forth, right? So that's so we're looking forward to seeing Genesis and as I look through the future, I see multiple children in utero now. I see multiple children that we're going to be adding to our family seemingly this year. So we're looking forward to all those children that'll be among us even more than they are, the numbers that are now. So we're praying for you as moms and dads and for those that are going to have children. But again, if you want to have a child, your baby or child dedicated, it'll be in February. So you remember as you were a kid, and maybe some of you are there now. Yeah, you remember because you can remember right now. But some of us have to remember a few years ago, and I can remember when TV, you know, went off at after the 11 o'clock news, and it didn't come back on until the next morning at like 6 o'clock, and it always come on with the Star Spangled Banner, right? And it was just, and I can remember being up, especially on a Saturday morning, want to watch cartoons or something as a 6-year-old or 7-year-old. I didn't know about the Star Spangled. Come on, I just want that test pattern off the TV. But it was back in the good old days when you could slap your TV when it was rolling and it would stop rolling. You know, those days when you, but I can remember on Saturday morning, it was Schoolhouse Rock, right? And they taught you all these different particular things, maybe about English or the conjunction, junction, what's your function, you know. I'm only a bill, you know, sitting here on Capitol Hill. You know, I can still remember those from learning about from Schoolhouse Rock. And some of the Schoolhouse Rock ones would go into the Constitution. I just listened to it yesterday again, and it started to unpack the Constitution and the preamble and those types of things. And it was endeavoring to teach us what the Constitution was and what the components of it were. And if maybe you know this, maybe you don't, but the Bill of Rights, right, is a part of the Constitution. The Bill of Rights, if we define the Bill of Rights, well, how do we define the Bill of Rights? Does anybody know? It's the first 10 amendments of the Constitution. The Constitution has 27 amendments. The first 10 amendments are the Bill of Rights. And these particular rights that we have as American citizens, they're our rights. They've been given to us. We didn't fight for them. They've been handed to us. Someone else went to bat for those. And they give us those rights, right? And now we live in those rights. On the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment has something to do with, right? The freedom of speech and the freedom. I don't have anything on the back wall. So the freedom of speech and the freedom of assembly and the freedom of religion. Right, that's a freedom that's been given to us. We have that right that has been given to us by the Bill of Rights. The Second Amendment is to keep and bear arms, right? And you have the right to keep and bear arms. And just so you know, I can say it publicly, that's not just hunting, okay? It's pretty clear. You have the right to bear arms, to rise up if you need to. And hopefully it never comes to that, but that's a part of the rights, right? And the Third Amendment says you can't be forced to house soldiers. You see, not many people argue about the Third Amendment because nobody's trying to force a soldier in your house and say you have to keep this soldier, it's wartime, and you have to keep this soldier, but that you don't have to do that according to the Amendment number 3. And number 4 is the search and seizure We have the Miranda rights because of like 4 and 5, Amendments 4 and 5, when you have the right to remain silent. Anything you can and say will and can be used against you in a court of law and so forth. If you've never had those read to you, praise the Lord, I have, okay? Ernesto Miranda, thank you, right? That's the guy's name is what they're named after. But that's the 4th and the 5th Amendment. The 5th Amendment says this. Push the button, please. Yeah, the right to a person accused of a crime. And the 6th Amendment is the right of a person on trial. And the 7th Amendment is the right of a civil trial. It speaks of those things. And 8th Amendment is bails and fine and punishments and the parameters that are allowed in under according to the law. And I like the 9th Amendment. It's one of my favorites. If it's not mentioned in this, it's automatically assumed that the people have the right. it's just a kind of a catch-all. In case we forgot anything, it's their right. The rights always fall on the people, not on the state or on the government. It's your right. And then the 10th Amendment is this. The 10th Amendment is this. This says that the power belongs to the state. You have given the government so much power, but any power we haven't given you belongs to us. That's part of the Ten Commandments, Ten Amendments, the Bill of Rights. And you have those rights because they were given to you and given to me. They're important. We live in them. And when someone endeavors to remove your rights, they endeavor to oppress you, right? Because rights give freedom. These rights give freedom. So if anybody tries to take your right or get you to not live into the rights that you have, they're trying to oppress you. When we try to take away those rights, it's happening right now. There's a forces that are endeavoring to rob us of our rights. And you may say, yeah, that's true. Just look at current events. And okay, I may agree with that. While those rights have great benefit, they are not the most beneficial rights. I'm talking about the Bill of Rights. I'm talking about those ones we just read, the right to assemble, the right to a freedom of religion, the right to bear arms, and so forth and so on. While those rights have great benefit, and I don't want to live without those rights. I'm just making that. Let me make that point. I don't want to live without those rights, because rights give freedom. And I want to live in freedom. Rights, listen to me. Rights give freedom. And I want to live in freedom. But while those rights have great benefits, they are not the most beneficial rights. There are more beneficial rights than the ones we have been given by the Constitution. And now, listen again, I'm not doing history lesson here. I'm saying, I don't want to live outside of those because I want those because they give freedom. But they're not the most beneficial rights that we can have as believers in Jesus Christ. There are rights that supersede the limitations of this world, and when exercised, will alter this world and the spiritual world. Are you with me this morning? There are greater rights. Listen to me. I am not saying don't live in our rights of the Constitution. And not in any way am I saying that. But I'm just saying there's rights over here that God has given me, and I don't want to live without those rights as well. Because those rights give freedom to me. And as God unpacks things in my life and allows me to have freedom and the rights to do certain things. And I think this will make sense. I got a lot of confused looks over the crowd right now. Say, what in the world are you talking about? I am a First Amendment, Second Amendment. I'm even a Third Amendment. Don't make me keep the army. I don't want to feed those guys. But there are rights that God has given us that I think we don't live in. They are here for us, and I don't think we live in those rights that God has given us. And therefore, we are oppressed as a church, oppressed as a body of believers, oppressed as the people of God. There are rights that are greater than constitutional rights because they're given by God. because they're for all people, because people, whether they have a constitution or not, whether they're in a communist country or not, they have these rights from God as they are children of God. And they can have life, and they can have it to the fullest because God has given them some rights. Psalm 9 says this, I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart, and I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praises to your name, O Most High, El Shaddai. My enemies turn back. They stumble and perish before you. Why? Verse 4 says this, for you have upheld my right and my cause. The psalmist knows he has rights in the spiritual world. The psalmist knows that I have the right to do this. And the enemy is trying to oppress him. And God says, no, I can see this heavenly courtroom where the enemy is the prosecuting attorney and coming into the psalmist says, he doesn't have the right to stand before you, God. And God says, no, as a matter of fact, he does have that right. He doesn't have the right, God, to get power from you. I've been trying to convince him for years that he doesn't have any connection with you. And God says, no, according to this section, he does have that right. And he can get empowered from me. And he can stand before me. And as he exercises those rights, am I making sense this morning? As he exercises those rights, all of a sudden his enemy starts to fall. Because why? Because his freedom is oppressing his enemy. I love that passage of Scripture. When I see God as that righteous judge, something that was endeavoring to strip the psalmist of his rights, thus causing him to be subdued, the heavenly courtroom, and God making a ruling. No, you do have those rights. The people of God have been given rights. In the heavenlies, we have been given rights. And when we live in those rights, freedom comes from living in those rights. And that's not something that we have worked for, no more than we have worked to get the rights of the Constitution. They have been handed to this generation. Our responsibility is to live in those rights and to live in that freedom. And we didn't do anything to get these rights from God. But they've been given to us. And our responsibility is to live in this freedom that God has given us. And these statements that God's going to make into your life. Look what he says in Galatians 4. But when the time has fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that they may have received the full rights as children. There are rights that come with being a child of God. Are you with me this morning? There are rights that come with being an American citizen, no doubt. But there are rights that come with being a child of the Most High God. And some of you have got messages from me in the past. I just want to say, good morning, Son of the Most High God. You got rights. Not something you have worked for, but they've been handed to you because of something somebody else did before you. This generation has rights before God. And in the courthouse, in the spiritual courthouse, the enemy's trying to convince us you don't have those rights. And God's saying, now wait a minute, I'm the righteous judge. Oh, yes, he does. Oh, yes, she does. She's got those rights. Because I gave them to them. Because you are sons. There's this legal document that have been signed. And some translations will use adoption. You have been adopted. God has legally determined you to have certain rights. Verse 6 says, because you are sons, God has sent his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into your heart. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, a child of the Most High God. And since you are a son, God has also made you an heir because you have rights. The Bill of Rights. And as I filter through the rights that God has given me, I start to pour through the pages of the Scripture.
I said, God, what are those rights? What are those full rights as the sons and the daughters of the Most High God? You said there in Galatians that you have given me the full rights as a son, that I am an heir, that I have rights that you have given me. And I want to live in those rights. And I believe he told me this week. As those that prayed for this service, and as I sent the prayer request off, as I was wrestling with the message, and I was wrestling, God, is this going to make sense? God, can I even understand this? God, how do I live in this? And all of a sudden, I send it off. And the prayers began from those who are committed to praying for this week. And all of a sudden, I find myself sitting and basking in the wisdom of God. He said, this is your right. Will you exercise your right? The enemy is trying to keep you from having this right because he's trying to oppress you. But I am the righteous judge. No, I signed it with my own hand, God said. You have this right. I was at a gun store this week. Second Amendment got over me. I walked into the gun store, which normally would have 30, 40 or more choices of pistols and maybe 100 choices of rifles. And when I got in there, it looked like the place had been looted. There couldn't have been more than 3 pistols. And they're the ones that kind of, when you pick them up, you know, the cylinder falls out of. Somebody's exercising their rights. And God says, when will you start exercising your rights? You come down here, you're expected to buy a pistol. Or you were at least, why are you even in the gun section? I said, I'm a Second Amendment God. I'm a Second Amendment guy, God. He said, when are you going to be a child of God, guy, son? He said, you know you've been given rights by me. And this is what he said. In that passage of scripture we just read, he said, you have been given the right to call me Abba, Father. You have been given me the right. I have given you the right to call me Dad. That's what that means. You and I have this personal relationship, and you can call me Dad. You can call me Abba, Father. When the enemy starts to beat me up and say, no, you don't have no access to God. And God says, now wait a minute. One of the full rights as a son is you can call me Dad. I am not just your father who gave you life. I am your dad who walks with you every single day. I am your dad there while you're at work. I am your dad on the other end of the text. I am your dad. I've given you life, sure, as a father, but I've given you the ability and the right to call me Abba, Father, because I'm your dad, and I've given you the right to call me Dad. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. It's a right. You have a right to become, not something of what you have done, no more than you did this for the Constitution, but it was handed to you from the generations before us. And God says, I know you're not working for this right. It has nothing to do with it. I give it to you, the right to call me Dad. The right to be my son and my daughter. I signed the adoption papers myself for you. I sought you out. I found you on the back alleys of this world. I found you in the lostness of this world. I found you in the foster care of this world. I found you in the slums of this world. I found you there, and I signed the papers for you, and I've given you the right. You can call me Dad now. Woo. I know that just needs to sink into my head and my soul and yours too. There's a big difference, and we know anybody can be a father, but it takes a special person to be a dad. And God's that special person. And he has given you the right and me the right to be his son and his daughter and call him Dad. In Jesus and through faith in Jesus, we can approach God with freedom and confidence. It says in Ephesians 3:12. You can approach God with freedom and confidence because you have been given the right to do that through Christ. And you have been given the right to call him Dad when you come into his presence. because you are His child, you are His daughter, you are His son. And when the enemy tries to keep you from the very presence of God, he's trying to oppress you because he knows what happens when somebody exercises their rights that they have been given. They live in freedom. Colossians 3, 1 and 2 says this, Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. You've been given the right to beyond this world right. You've got to beyond this world right. You can see, now you can see beyond this world. You can set your things on God. You can set your thinking on God. God said, not only can you come into my presence, not only can you call me dad, but now you can start thinking like me. I've given you the right to think like me. Can I have all the thoughts of God? For crying out loud, no. But can I start thinking like God? Yes. Because He's given me that right. I can start thinking like God. Are you with me this morning? Are you exercising that right? Are we exercising the right? Because the enemy would like to say, you can't do that. You're nothing but a human. You're only human. Say, wait a minute. God, am I only human? Well, let me check. No, you're a son of the Most High God. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. Sorry, enemy, I am not just human. Because the righteous judge has just said, I'm more than that. The righteous judge has held up my right to say, no! No, he's not just human. No, she's not just human. No, he can or she can begin to think like God. You can have God thoughts. You have that right. Not because of what you've done or what you fought for. It's because of what God has signed over to you. In your rights as a son or rights as a daughter, He has given you the ability to start thinking like Him. You can think like God. Can I have all the thoughts of God? No. Can all my thoughts be of God? Yes. Are we exercising that right? See, as I went into that gun store this week, and I was like, wow, I don't know if I feel comfortable about this or not. And then I get this picture, well, you're standing here, knucklehead. Because I'm just afraid that if I only exercise the right of the Second Amendment, which I'm very much of a Second Amendment guy, I almost carried today just to prove that to you. But I couldn't choose the couple dozen guns that I have to choose one to bring here. But if that's the only hope I got, I'm in trouble. If my 9mm or my AR-15 or my 38 or my 12-gauge shotgun with double up buck, if that's the only hope I got, I am to be pitied. Because I watched some people this week. I've watched them suffer through cancer. I've watched them suffer through surgeries. I've watched them suffer through COVID. And you can surround the room with all the guns you want, and it doesn't mean a hill of beans to them. But having the right to call God Dad, woo! Having the right to start thinking not only of earthly things, but of heavenly things. Woo! Now there is true victory. Now there is true freedom. Now there is what God wants for us. Exercise your right to call God Dad. Exercise your right to have this freedom to think like God thinks. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever and ever and ever. God says, you don't know everything, but you know some. Whew. I just got to tell you, this is where I went. This is where I went. This is my office this week. I got a new office chair. So it's like, ooh, this is nice, man. This chair's supposed to have padding on them. That's pretty cool. I mean, it's just like, I'm settled back in that chair, and God says, buckle in, buddy. We're going. Because you got the right to call me dad, and you got the right to start thinking like me. You think that's the end of your rights? And all of a sudden, he led me to Matthew 6, 9, and 10. He says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He said, you got to asking for heaven to be released on earth right. You got that right. Because you're my son. And I signed the adoption papers for you. I took you out of the foster care system. And I adopted you. And you can think like me. And now you can ask for that to be delivered on earth. Ask for it, he said. You think I'm a puny God? He said, I'm a mighty God. You can start thinking like me. But I don't want you to just get frustrated because you can think like me and not ask for me to be involved in the situation around you. You can ask. You've got a right. You've got an asking for heaven to be released on earth right. You can do that. I'll tell you what, I got to say it again. We were singing that song and in another week, I've been wrestling for 1 year with my heart palpitating and all this issue that's going on in my physical body. 1 year in a week, 1 year. And all of a sudden, I find myself saying, I am healed. I am free. I am healed. In his past tense, I'm already healed. I'm already freed. And God said, what do you think about that, son? I said, I'm starting to think like you think, God. I'm already healed. I'm calling it down from heaven, God. I want to call it down from heaven. I want your heaven to be released on earth, God. And I got that right. The enemy says, oh, you ain't got no right to do that. And God says, wait a minute. I'm the righteous judge. Oh, yeah, I signed the document. He's got the right. And he said, you got to be holy right, too. You know that? You got to be holy right. Your actions, your lifestyle can reflect the nature of God. It's not be holy and hopefully God will notice you. It's be holy because God is holy. He says, your walk can look like me. Your mind can start thinking like me. Your voice can start crying out to me and release that. And now your life can start looking like me. I've given you that right. You're never going to get it right. You're going to fail again. You failed so many times. Wah, 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 wah. God, is that true? Wait a minute. God says, no, I'm the righteous judge. No, that's not true. He can be holy because I am holy and I'm his dad. I can remember going to Corning, New York. When you were a Tioga County bumpkin, going to Corning, New York as a seven-year-old was like New York City, baby. And my grandmother lived in an apartment. It was five stories. It was unreal. I was looking at it like, I get dizzy just looking over this thing. Five stories. I can remember going there, and I can remember some of the kids coming out from the city kids. I think city kids are cool. If you're a city kid, that's good. But these city kids, they didn't have the purest intentions. And they come out, and they started to harass me. And they started to gang up a little bit on me. And I stood up strong, and I, with all my voice I could, I said this, I'm going to get my dad if you don't leave me alone. God says, you got that right, boy. You got that right. When you're up against the schoolhouse bullies, you got the right to say, I'm going to get my dad because I am your dad, because I signed your adoption papers. Just so you know, to finish that story, it worked. And you got a right to be holy. Number five, the Fifth Amendment is this. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. You have the forgiveness right. When you mess up, I'll forgive you. You're not going to be stuck in it the rest of your life. I will forgive you. He'll never be forgiven for that. Just let me make the trip one more time at least. You've screwed up for the last time. You'll never be forgiven. God, is that true? No, it's not true. He's got the forgiveness right. All He has to do is exercise it, and I will forgive Him. He's got to live in that right, not something He has done. It's all been done, and it's been handed to Him because He has the full rights. She has the full rights as children of the Most High God. I gave them to them. Number 6, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. I have the right to trust God. I have a trust in God right. You ever worry about anything? Oh. You know, and I just got to tell you, my mind goes, you got to worry about that. You're right. Man, I started talking to my mind. You're right. I got to worry about that because it's worth being worried about. You know, and I got to worry about that. You can do nothing else but then worry. You got to worry. And the more you think about it, the better it'll get. So just keep thinking about it. How come my thoughts always grow weeds and never corn? You know, it just never does. And I said, I don't have any other choice. And the enemy said, you don't have any other choice but to worry about this because you don't know the end. You don't know what's going to turn out like. You don't know what your health is going to do. You don't know if you're going to live or die. And I said, you're right. I got to worry about it. And God said, wait a minute. Let me look it up. No, amendment number 6 says, nope, you have the right to trust me. You don't have to worry. I've given you the right to trust me. Why? Because I'm your dad. Philippians 3:12 is where I went next. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take a hold of that for which Christ took a hold of me. You got the press on and take a hold of right. You can go. You can take a hold of that. I took a hold of you for something, and it's out there. You can get it, and you get it this minute, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one. You have the right to press on. Paul says just before that, forgetting what is behind, forgetting my past, I strive forward to take a hold of that for which Christ took a hold of me. You got that right. You got that right to advance in your relationship with God. You got that right. Why? Because He's your dad. Because you can think like Him. Because you can call down from heaven the heavenly provision to have it happen on earth. Because you can be holy. Because you can trust God. It's all in the Constitution. And when the enemy tries to take you from those rights, as a matter of fact, he cannot take you from those rights. I think we skipped that slide because that's above his pay grade. He cannot take those rights from you. It's above his authority. But it's not outside of his job description to get you to not live inside of those rights. Amen. And he'll do that. We need to go to the spiritual gun store, New Lifers. And we need to buy everything that's there because we got the right. The spiritual forces of evil are endeavoring to strip God's people of those rights. Stripping is above the enemy's authority. But getting God's people to be ignorant of or not exercising their rights is in his job description. He'll do that. He can't burn the Constitution. But he can get you so distracted that you're not looking at the freedoms that you have as sons and daughters of the Most High God. I only have 8 amendments. But you are battle ready right. You have a battle ready right. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, strap up with a belt of truth. Strap on the breastplate of righteousness, because it's your right. They're your armor. That's your armor. They've already been bought and paid for. And they're given to you and to me. To put on the truth, put on this breastplate of righteousness, put on this gospel of peace, put on the shield of faith, take up the helmet of salvation, and for crying out loud, don't forget the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But you're right. Galatians 5:1 says this. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. You will never, and I will never, ever experience the true freedom that God has for me unless I exercise the rights that He has given me. The right to call Him Abba Father. The right to think beyond this world. The right to call heaven to be released on earth. The right to be holy because He is holy. The right of forgiveness when I mess up. The right to trust God and not worry. The right to press on and to take a hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. And the right to be ready for battle. That's where freedom comes from. Let me make a point. I am not selling my guns. But I will not be buying another one. Because that's not going to do what this will do. And I want to live in true freedom. And I want to experience everything that God has for me in this world and the world to come. Stand with me today. Father God, thank You. Thank You that maybe the idea of the Constitution and rights is yours. It is Yours. You've given us all these rights, and Lord, I for one want to exercise these rights, and I want to call You Dad. And I know that You've given me the right to do that. And Lord, I just also want to be exercising each one of these rights as my day goes on. And as my life goes on, I want to live in the rights that You have given me. I want to live in the rights that You have given, that have been given to the United States of America. Okay. But I want these rights. And they can never be taken from me. The enemy cannot ever take them from me, because they have been signed by You, God, and they are signed in the blood of Jesus Christ. They will never be stripped from us. But oh, will we not try to live in freedom without exercising these rights? Father, help us on this very day. Help us to strive to live in the rights, just to live in those rights, to know that we are there. And let's just start by calling You Dad. Dad in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Dad in heaven, I thank You for allowing me to be Your son, allowing us to be Your children. I thank You for pulling me out of the foster care system and adopting me. It is for freedom that Christ has set me free, and I, for one, will live in that freedom. Help me, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Have an awesome day.